This is Foul Ball Area.
Foul Ball Area.
A special Friday edition bringing you exclusive interviews with baseball figures from around the world.
I don't know if you've seen the story recently that Manny Ramirez was considering coming out of retirement age 114. You know, I was actually the person that broke that story.
While I'm calling the game, news gets out that the NCAA tournament is going to be played in front of no fan. So all of this is happening while I'm on the ACC Network broadcast.
He's super excited for being in the Rays organization, just how there's such an analytical organization, such an organization that puts a precedent on that.
Now, here's today's episode of Foul Ball Area.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, alongside my co-host, Trey Lyle, and we're excited to bring you a Friday edition of the podcast as we get ever closer to the 2020 Major League Baseball postseason. It's going to be a very exciting playoff this year. The most interesting one, I think, that we've had in a long time. And so over the next couple of days, we're going to try to break it down a little bit. And here to help us break it down today is Danny Vietti of CBS Sports. Danny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine over here, guys. It's postseason time, almost postseason time. It's one of the best times of the year. I got nothing to complain about.
I think he's got one of the best backgrounds we've had under these Zoom interviews. I see that the tiki bar is popping. Nice weather out back, as you know, it's kind of that year where the weather's just right. It's not too cold yet, but it looks like still the pool area is open.
I've been showing off the tiki bar. It's a subtle flex. I've built it myself, and so any chance I have, if I'm FaceTiming a friend, if I'm on a Zoom call with work, I have to get in the background in some capacity.
Nice. I like it. You have any TVs out there able to watch some baseball out there in the backyard?
Right behind this screen right here, I got the TV hooked up so I can, you know, while I'm on the clock, of course, you know, always working hard, I also got the TV on too.
Nice. I like it. Well, we've got the MLB postseason coming up. Of course, a few games left in the regular season before we get there. But just looking at the teams that have already qualified for the postseason, what would you say would be your dream World Series matchup that we could see this year?
My bias is going to show already. But like, I grew up in Northern California. I grew up going to A's games. I would love – and it's not just about – where I grew up or who I started rooting for when I was a kid or anything like that. I love Oakland A's fans. I think they're awesome. I think they don't really show up much during the regular season because there's not as many of them, but they show up when it really matters. And so they show up to the big time playoff games. Unfortunately, Oakland hasn't been able to pull through and win that big game. Last year against the Tampa Bay Rays, just didn't get it done. Sean Manaea struggled and the offense struggled. So I would love to see Oakland in the World Series. I really would. And then more West Coast bias for you. I've been kind of riding that Padres bandwagon all year long. The most exciting team in baseball. Them, the White Sox, I mean, the young talent that they possess, it's unmatched across baseball, really. I mean, and they're not even done yet. They still haven't even called up Mackenzie Gore, who's one of, if not the top prospect in Major League Baseball, behind Franco. Yeah, those two teams, the Oakland A's, San Diego Padres, I think it would be tons of fun. If I were to have a backup option, I already mentioned them. I love me some White Sox baseball too. So White Sox Padres would be pretty fun too.
That's Matt's ideal World Series. I said, as someone who grew up a Yankees fan because for some reason I thought I could be Derek Jeter, and growing up in Richmond.
We all did.
Yeah, growing up in Richmond, the Braves, Richmond Braves, before it was the Richmond Flying Squirrels, which is affiliated to the Giants, but the Richmond Braves were here. That was the team I grew up with. You know, after Little League, if you had a minor league team, they would, like, celebrate you. We'd go to those games. So I remember being on, like, the Diamond Field before a Braves game. So Yankees-Braves would be fun, also because Matt's a Braves fan, so a lot of trash talk could be on the podcast. But I think both of us would be very excited for a Padres-White Sox World Series. And speaking of getting ready for the World Series, obviously, last week of the most interesting, dynamic, crazy, I don't even know how to describe it, season. What are you looking for the most as we head into this this week? And obviously, a lot of key playoff spots still up for grabs.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore the National League wild card race right now. There's about four different teams fighting for those spots. And it gets even more complex than that, because we're not just talking about the wild card spots. We're talking about the NL Central too, because the Cardinals are going to be facing the Brewers in a 5-game set. Who's going to take that second NL Central spot? Because the Reds are playing really, really well. They're one of the hottest teams in baseball. They just won a big game last night over the Brewers. The pitchers, of course, are pitching well. Their lineup's starting to figure it out. Maybe the Reds can jump into that second spot, because the Brewers and Cardinals, the Cardinals are in that second spot, that second NL Central playoff spot. They're going to be playing the Brewers. If they beat up on one another, which something's got to give in that series, it's a five-game set. The Reds, if they do their business, they could pull through and take that second game spot. And all of a sudden, now you have the Cardinals that are fighting to get in the playoffs at all. They're fighting for a wild card spot. The Brewers are fighting for a wild card spot. And then, of course, there's the San Francisco Giants, who I think has really been one of, if not the biggest surprise in Major League Baseball this season. What Farhan Zaidi has done with that roster and the financial limitations that that club has been nothing short of remarkable. So I'm definitely paying attention to this National League wildcard race, and not to mention the Marlins too. They're going to be right in the thick of it. So it'll be interesting coming down the stretch.
Do you like the new playoff format where it's an 18 playoff and then top two teams in each division make it?
So I get this question a lot. Yes and no. I'm not 100% sold on it because I want to see how it plays out first. And I think Major League Baseball kind of mirrors that same opinion. I think right now it's great because you have more fans involved than ever before because more teams are involved. You have more teams that are fighting for a playoff spot, which means more fans are paying attention, more people are watching the games. But what I don't want to see happen is a number eight seed. Don't get me wrong, I like upsets. I think upsets are great. You always root for the underdog. But I don't want to see a number one seed go down because it's just a freak matchup. It's just kind of a weird I don't even really have a great example for you, but I would hate to see a one seed go down in the first round best of three because it was just a bad matchup or because maybe the game's just the way they played out. I would really hate that. So I like it thus far because I think it's good for baseball, more fans involved, but I kind of want to see how it plays out first through these first couple rounds of the playoffs.
Talking with Danny Vietti of CBS Sports, breaking down the upcoming MLB postseason. You said you're looking forward to the National League wild card spots getting decided over this upcoming weekend. What about the AL? You have the AL West, where some stuff could still happen there with the Astros and the Angels are still in it. And then the AL Central, where the Twins and the White Sox are kind of battling for first place in that division.
See, the Twins and White Sox, it's all fun and dandy, but I think both those teams, wherever they end up, it's going to be a successful season for either of them. The Twins, if they lose early in the playoffs, it would obviously be a bit of a bummer for them because they have a little higher expectations. But from my perspective, the White Sox have already made their leap. Everything after this, them and the Padres, everything after this is more like icing on the cake. You want to have some momentum. You want to win the whole freaking thing, of course. But, you know, realistic expectations, I think it's been a successful year for them. Going over to that AL West spot that you talked about. Now, that's interesting. Everybody's rooting against the Astros. Except for Astros fans, of course. That's just kind of the cards they've been dealt, and they kind of made their own hand too. So 2.5 back, the Angels are. They're 2.5 back. The Astros, they play the Rangers, who are one of, if not the worst records in baseball, and they have a four-game set. So what has to happen is the Angels take care of their business. They play the Dodgers, but keep in mind, the Dodgers are great, but they're not going to be throwing all their guys out there. They're not going to throw Kershaw out there for 7-8 innings. They're going to get ready for the playoffs. They're not going to stick their guys out there and risk being injured or anything like that. So the Angels are going to get a Dodgers team, maybe the Dodgers B team, who knows. They're going to get them for a three game set. If they can find a way to win those three games, all they have to do is hope that the Astros lose their series. The Astros don't even have to lose every game if the Angels take care of their business. If the Angels win all three games in Los Angeles and then the Astros lose 3 of 4 to Texas, the Angels are in because the Angels own that tiebreaker. It's nothing is a given, of course, but it's interesting, and especially considering where the Angels were 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps that Mike Trout's himself even more than he does, and we'll talk more about MVP races in a moment. But if you're a Twins fan, you know, if you don't win the division, you unfortunately face the New York Yankees again, as the Yankees are looking like the team they were expected to. So I think the Twins definitely want to win the division more, and mainly just to avoid the Yankees in that first round.
I think that's fair, but I just don't think he can go into a playoff with that perspective, because you're going to have to meet up with them at some point. If you are going into the playoffs and you're thinking, oh, I want to win this division because I don't want to play New York, I just think that's the wrong mindset, because you're going to have to beat them now, or you're not going to be content with a first round series win and then lose to the Yankees the next round. So I just think it's kind of a give or take type thing. And I don't know if that's the best mindset going into it.
I completely agree. I was more from a fan's point of view. I think the players are just excited to get into the postseason. Talking about the AL MVP, obviously it's kind of, I would say, two player race, I think, between Ramirez and Abreu. But obviously Tim Anderson deserves a lot of consideration. I think Luke Voit deserves a lot of consideration. Who do you see kind of distinguishing themselves for AL MVP?
So for me, it's got to be Jose Abreu. I'm very strong in saying that, because I know we shouldn't take into account previous seasons or previous history, but what Jose Abreu has done since he broke into this league has been not even overshadowed. He hasn't even been looked at. He's fifth in Major League Baseball in hits since he entered the league. He's top 10 in home runs, RBIs, OPS since he entered the league. And this has been going on for 6-7 years. So again, I hate to look at the history and give an award to somebody for their career stat line, but I just think this is the year that Jose Abreu deserves some recognition for all that he's done for that franchise. And now they're a winning team. And so now he has some weapons around him. He's never really had studs around him to where he had too many RBI opportunities. Now he does. And now he's pulling through just like he always has, except his numbers are being spiked even more. So for me, again, I love what Jose Ramirez is doing this year for Cleveland. I love what Shane Bieber is doing for Cleveland. I think Luke Voit has really helped shoulder all that injury load that New York has had, and now they're finally righting the ship. I just love Jose Abreu. I like the White Sox and what they've done this year. I think they've been one of the biggest surprises this year, and I think he's kind of that fan favorite, just like the team is. You kind of want to give the award to that fan favorite.
Does Shane Bieber deserve any consideration? Obviously, he's probably the lock of the lock of the lock to win AL Cy Young. I mean, he basically won it game one and never let go of it. But just how dominant he was for the season, does he deserve to get any consideration?
He certainly does. I was actually following a fun little debate going on between Jeff Passan and Jeremy Frank on Twitter the other day, and they both made really great points. I just kind of go back to my personal belief of I like a guy that plays every day. And I know that what Bieber's production has almost eclipsed what a regular everyday player does. But at the same time, I just think if Bieber was going to be considered for that number one spot, it would have to be for there not to be other front runners. But there are front runners. There's Voit. There's Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, and his teammate Jose Ramirez too. So he deserves consideration. I just personally want a guy that wins MVP to be out there on an everyday basis. And for me too, we created Cy Young to give it to the best pitcher. So why are we now kind of crossing lines here? And now we're saying, well, let's allow pitchers. If you're going to create a Cy Young and then give an MVP to a pitcher, why don't we create a best hitter? I know we have Silver Slugger, but why don't we create best hitter? Because that's essentially what Cy Young is for a pitcher. That's my personal belief.
So looking at the NL, obviously I am a Braves fan, so I think Freddie Freeman deserves a lot of consideration for the MVP award this year. I think that he and Fernando Tatis are the front runners. We put a post on social media this week asking which player people think will win the NL MVP. A lot of people said either Freeman, or some people said Manny Machado. Who do you think that award will end up going to this season?
Yeah, this is tough. For me, I had Fernando Tatis Jr. as the MVP through the first, I'm trying to think how much season there's been 60 games. So basically through the first couple month and a half, or nearly 2 months now. But these last 2 weeks, that's all it takes for someone to kind of lose their consideration. Unfortunately, Tatis has hit under the Mendoza line. He's hitting like .140 in his past 14 games. That's just not going to cut it. And unfortunately, in a 60 game season, it'll derail a guy. And Tatis is the perfect example. So for me, Tatis is, I don't want to say he's out of consideration, but he's going to take one hell of a weekend from him this weekend for him to kind of pull through back into that consideration. For me, it's between Machado and Freeman, and I couldn't tell you which I would choose. I think it's more of a coin flip. You go side-by-side numbers. Freeman has the advantage with the bat, not by a whole lot, but he has a little bit of an advantage with the bat. And especially what he's done for that Braves team. I'm sure you know the injuries that their pitching staff has endured, and their lineups too. Acuna was down. Albies was down. I mean, they've had to go through a lot. I mean, you look at their pitching rotation now. Who's not injured? Max Fried went out of the game last night. Cole Hamels is done for the season. Soroka, torn Achilles. It's been really tough, and he's been able to shoulder all that load and really pull through. On the flip side, Machado has the advantage defensively because he just plays more of a premier position. He plays over there in the hot corner at third base. I know Freddie Freeman is a great first baseman, but they just don't have as much of an impact over there as you do at third base. So I give Machado the advantage defensively. I give Freeman the advantage offensively. And after that, it's kind of a flip of the coin for me.
Yeah, definitely been a rough season for the Braves with all the injuries, like you said. Cole Hamels, they thought they were getting him for 1 year. They got him for one start. So Freeman has had to put the team on his back a little bit. Once we get to the postseason, which league do you think is going to be more competitive, the American League or the National League? Because you could look at the NL and you could say it's a four-team race between the top four seeds and everyone else is kind of just there. You know, they made the playoffs, but they don't really have a shot.
See, personally for me, I think it's actually going to be more competitive in the American League just because there's really not that front runner kind of running away with things. The National League, the Dodgers are head and shoulders above everyone. I think their acquisition of Mookie Betts really just kind of put them over the top. Now, it's the MLB postseason. Anything can happen. The Dodgers can go down. Anybody can go down. But to me, I just think just because of the amount of competitiveness over there in American League, I mean, the Yankees are going to be in the middle of the pack as far as seeding, and they could be have the most talent of anybody. Tampa Bay Rays, as great as they are, they're beatable. They've proven that they can be beatable, especially in the postseason. I think their pitching staff, as long as they can get Charlie Morton to kind of pull through and get back to his stuff, they could be really, really dangerous. But if you're looking top to bottom, I think really anybody can beat anybody in the American League. National League, I just think it's a little top heavy. Padres and Dodgers, I think they really are a lot better than teams like the Giants who could squeeze in there. The Reds are playing better of late, but they just really haven't shown it across the long term. So I think American League as a whole will be a little bit more competitive than the National League. But like I said, it's the postseason. Anything can happen.
For me, some outside of the postseason, you kind of touched on it on your Twitter account. Alex Gordon announced, or the Royals announced Alex Gordon was retiring. So in this day, he was a lifetime Royal, obviously part of their World Series teams, and getting to meet some Royals fans. Alex Gordon was connected to that fan base very much well. In this day of major trades and players changing teams, do you think we'll see one player with one team for their entire career still? I guess the next example will be Mike Trout, who kind of signed that long deal with the Angels.
Yeah, I certainly think we will, especially with baseball and the advantages of staying with a team. You can make more money if you stay with your team just because you're constantly with them on a day-to-day basis. They get to know you more. They invest more in you. So a guy like Mike Trout, I don't know how much he would have gotten had he went elsewhere. I don't know if he would have made as much as he did with Los Angeles just because they know who he is. They know what he's about. And there's always going to be those handful of players and just handful of people in general that want to stay home. They built a family. They built they built a platform for themselves wherever they may be playing. So a guy like Francisco Lindor, wherever he goes in free agency, some people might judge him for leaving, but let's not judge him for anything, because let's say he wants to stay home for less money. Some people might say, well, he should have gone elsewhere. Cleveland's never going to get you enough guys around him. Let him make his own choice, because at the end of the day, what really is $50 million when you're already making $250 million? As a guy like Francisco Lindor, he's going to make that much money. So to criticize a guy for maybe not going elsewhere or maybe staying put because of a money aspect, I think you're just nickel and diming a guy that really doesn't care about nickels or dimes.
So this season, of course, has been one of the strangest in MLB history that we've seen. Of course, a 60-game shortened season after the COVID-19 delay. How do you think that this 60-game season has affected the way that it's shaken out? You know, the Marlins are in the playoffs as of right now. Do you think that they would have made the playoffs in a full regular season? Or four of the teams with the longest postseason droughts are making the postseason this year, including the Padres, the Marlins, and the White Sox. So do you think those teams would have had a legitimate shot to make the playoffs in a regular year?
Legitimate shot, sure. Just because it's baseball, anything can happen. But there's a handful of teams that I definitely wouldn't have had them in the playoffs had there been a 162-game season, simply because I think some teams are just better suited for a longer season. A team like the Cardinals, who are known for their defense and their pitching, I think they can just slowly kill teams off, because another team might ride a hot streak, but then they kind of fall off the table a little bit. Whereas a team like the Cardinals, they're just more consistent. You know, they're steady incline. Whereas a team like the Marlins, maybe they get hot and then they go down. And that's just kind of how young teams work sometimes. And I actually feel bad for the Angels. I know they still have a shot. We talked about it earlier. Still have a shot at the postseason. But a team like the Angels, they've been playing really good ball lately. Really, really good ball. And those are the types of teams that we looked upon in the preseason that we were worried about. What team in Major League Baseball needs 162 games to find their groove? A team like the Angels, it's kind of proven true already. Apparently, they needed more time to kind of get their guys together and find their groove. A team like the Nationals won the World Series last year. Through 60 games last year, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. So there's teams like that I feel really bad for, just because, you know, maybe if there was 162 games, we would see Mike Trout in the postseason. This year, again, they're 2.5 games back. There's still a chance, but it's just not looking as likely.
So obviously this postseason, and I think it was the best choice, we're moving to a bubble for the postseason, with the American League playing in California and the NL playing in Texas. How do you think that's going to affect the postseason? I think you have to use kind of what's exampled. And you look at the NBA, there's been a lot of quote-unquote upsets. Obviously, a 5 seed out of the East looks favored to be in the NBA Finals, whereas – which might have not been a team that would have made it under normal circumstances. So how do you think the bubble is going to affect this postseason?
Yeah, home field is a real thing. It's no myth. So I warn people, don't undervalue home field advantage, because it can really swing things in a different direction, especially young teams. We talked about it earlier. We weren't expecting this many young teams to be in the playoff race. Marlins, Padres, White Sox, the Rays are young. The A's are young. There's a lot of young teams, and they're not going to have that, at least as much of a comfortability aspect on their side, because they might be in a bubble if they make it to that round or whatever. And so I think it will definitely play a factor. There's no doubt about that. And there's just not as much incentive, really, for getting that higher seed. Of course, you can be the home team and have the advantage there, but that just – you know, you're not playing in your home field. Again, there's just not as much incentive. And so I think you'll see more of an impact really this last weekend, whether we see the Dodgers go for it in these last 3 games to kind of secure that number one seed if they haven't already. And then other teams like the Rays to secure that one seed, will they go for it this last weekend, or will they just kind of stand pat and throw out their B team and be secure where they are?
Do you expect more upsets or maybe a surprise team you could see benefiting from this kind of format?
Yes. So going back to the kind of the first question we talked about, that's kind of my biggest worry. I don't want to see a one team just have a bad matchup in that first round, or maybe one of their starters gets hurt or something crazy happens. Do I see upset happening? Yeah, I could definitely see it. Again, it could just be a matchup nightmare for somewhere. You look at a team like the Cleveland Indians, who are one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. That's all you need in a 3-game series, because you can kind of – when that's a lot of teams try and shorten series. Some people ask me, you know, how do you like this team in a playoff series? And I always ask them, I said, okay, is it a 5-game series or a 7-game series? Because there's a big difference. If you have the amount of depth to withstand a 7-game series, then I like them. But there's some teams that really, it goes back to our question earlier of 60-game season versus 162-game season. Some teams are just better equipped for a longer series because they have more depth. A team like the Dodgers, if one of their guys goes down, they have about 3 guys on their bench that would be starters on 29 other teams. I think there could be upsets. I don't want to really pick one yet, just because we don't really have the matchups in writing yet, but yeah, it could definitely happen.
All right, well, Danny, thank you so much for taking some time and talking to us today. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to a very exciting postseason coming up here in just a few days.
Yeah, hey, likewise, man. Thank you guys for having me.
So that was Danny Vietti of CBS Sports joining us on Foul Ball Area today. You can find him on Twitter @DannyVietti. You can find his work at cbssports.com/ MLB. We appreciate his insight on the 2020 MLB postseason. We are looking forward to a very exciting playoffs coming up here. Starting this coming Tuesday is when the first round of the wild card playoffs begin. The first ever wild card series in Major League Baseball. It should be very, very fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to it. But we do have one final weekend of the 2020 regular season, so a lot of fun games to watch. Of course, like we mentioned, that AL West race, the AL Central, the National League wildcard race, a lot of playoff spots still up for grabs in the 2020 playoffs, so it should be a fun final weekend of the regular season. Trey, I will see you this weekend. We're going to head up to Center of the Universe Brewing sometime this weekend and grab couple Oktoberfest beers there. Of course, we had Chris Ray of Center of the Universe on last week on the podcast, so we're going to go check out the brewery, see what's going on there. So I look forward to that, Trey.
Yeah, we'll mask up and drink some brews.
Sounds good. We'll do it. Thank you for listening to Foul Ball Area, everybody. Thanks to Danny Vietti for joining us. Thank you, as always, to my co-host, Trey Lyle. I'm Matthew Atkins. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.